Well, the church, by and large, has done a good job emphasizing some key events in Jesus' earthly ministry. Christmas is greatly emphasized, some argue disproportionately so. Many Christians are curious about and at times infatuated with the end times and the second coming of Christ. We intently study Jesus' ministry, teaching, and miracles. And we often discuss and reflect on the cross, on Jesus' death, and on his glorious resurrection. And don't get me wrong, these are good things for us to do. We should be continually contemplating his teaching and his sacrificial death and the hope that we have that he is indeed risen. But you know what we don't talk so much about? The ascension. The ascension of Jesus is rarely mentioned and often neglected. As a result, most Christians are ignorant of the importance of Jesus' ascension into heaven. Sure, most believers could tell you what the ascension is, specifically that the ascension is Jesus raising and going to heaven after his resurrection. But if pressed, many would not be able to give reasons why the ascension was necessary, let alone why it was important. Many would be hard-pressed to give reasons why it was better that Jesus ascended to heaven than stayed here on the earth. Some might even confess that overall, it would have been better if Jesus stayed here on the earth in his resurrected body, then go to heaven. Is that you this morning? Would you be able to explain to someone why it was necessary that Jesus ascend to heaven and the important benefits for us today? If you can't, then you suffer from ADD, Ascension Deficit Disorder. And so in this final message from the Gospel according to Luke, I hope to cure you of your ADD. I intend to inform you that the ascension and its about the ascension and its important benefits. And I can do that from these closing verses in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53, because these verses describe Jesus' glorious ascension into heaven. Therefore, this morning I aim to accomplish the following two things. First, to give a brief explanation of what is going on in verses 50 through 53. And then I'll give you nine reasons why the ascension is important and necessary. And so let's begin by taking a look at Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. In these four verses, we generally see the following three things happening. First, Jesus lifts up his hands in order to bless and give a benediction to his disciples. We see that in verse 50. And secondly, Jesus departs from them and is carried up into heaven. That's what it says in verse 51. This refers to Jesus' ascension into heaven, which we will go over in just a few at length in just a moment. And third, we see the disciples' response in verses 52 and 53. It says that they worshipped him, that is Jesus, which is significant because worship is reserved for God and God alone. By worshipping Jesus, it's a clear indication that they believed Jesus to be God in the flesh. Remember that according to verses 44 and 45, their minds were opened to see and understand who Jesus is and his role in God's plan for salvation. With this increased knowledge and understanding, it most naturally led them to praise and worship Jesus as the true God. It then says in verse 52 that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Notice that they were not filled with sadness or grief or despair because Jesus departed from them. Instead, they had great joy. Why? Because Jesus had risen, and he's ascending to heaven to be with the Father. Again, because Jesus gave them increased knowledge and increased understanding through opening up the Scriptures to them, they now understand God's plan and why Jesus had to go to heaven. We'll get to those reasons in just a minute, but what's important to see is that Jesus' departure resulted in the disciples being filled with great joy. And then we see the disciples continually in the temple blessing God, as it says in verse 53. They blessed God and gave him thanks and praised him for the work that he accomplished through Jesus. And so that is generally speaking what is happening in these four verses. But for the remainder of the time, I'd like to further consider something that I already alluded to. Why was Jesus' departure the cause of great joy? Why is it crucially important that Jesus ascended to heaven? That is what I intend to answer in the remaining time. Here are, as I said, nine reasons why the ascension is important and necessary. Here we go. Number one, Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, ruling over the entire universe. Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, ruling over the entire universe. Jesus' ascension is not just a departure from the earth, but an arrival in heaven. Yes, the ascension marks the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, but it also marks the beginning of his heavenly reign. That's crucial for us to understand, and it's all as a result of the ascension. Along these lines, the ascension was the vindication that Jesus was truly innocent. It was his vindication that his condemnation at the hands of the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, was unjust. Because if they were right to condemn Jesus, then he most certainly would not ascend to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God. But as it is, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the power of God, which is exactly, if you remember, what Jesus told the Sanhedrin he would do in Luke chapter 22, verse 69. Now, don't miss the fact that it says that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. That Jesus is sitting signifies that his atoning work is complete. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, after making purification for sins, he, that is Jesus, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. After he had fully paid for all of the sins for all true believers, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sat down on the heavenly throne at the right hand of God the Father. This sitting down indicates completion of his atoning work. Think of a defense attorney at the end of a trial. He makes his closing argument, and then he sits down saying, "I rest my case." He has completed his defense of his client, and then he sits down. Or think of a mom at the end of a very busy day of getting the kids ready, making breakfast, brushing teeth, maybe even brushing her own teeth if she remembers, making lunches for everyone, running around and doing errands, folding laundry, taking kids back and forth to practice, helping with schoolwork, making dinner, doing the dishes, helping the kids get into bed. And then what does she do? She sits down. Why? Because her work is done. Now, to be clear, Jesus does not sit down because he's tired, like the busy mom might be. But nonetheless, his sitting down signifies the completion of his atoning work. And with that work completed, he is rightfully crowned the King of the universe. And he sits down on his throne to begin his reign. And furthermore, that he is seated indicates that all is at rest. There are no enemies to the throne that could possibly contend with him or usurp his power. Jesus has decisively defeated all his enemies, and none can challenge his authority. And so he sits on his throne, peacefully at rest. And so it's important that Christ ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, because it signifies that his atoning work is completed, his reign has begun, and all is at rest. Now this leads quite nicely to the second reason why the ascension is important, and it is for this reason: as our conquering, coronated king, Jesus gives us the spoils of victory. Jesus decisively defeated and triumphed over his enemies, and as a result, he ascends to heaven, and as the king, he is able to give his disciples the spoils of the victory. The first and most important gift that he gives is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives this gift to his true followers. In John 16:7, Jesus says to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away," that is, that I depart and ascend to heaven. "For if I do not go away, the Helper," that is the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." In other words, Jesus is saying, if Jesus does not ascend to heaven, then we do not receive the Holy Spirit. But because Jesus did ascend to heaven, he gives to all true believers the gift of the Holy Spirit, who dwells and lives and remains and abides inside of them. This is a truly remarkable gift that is given only as a result of Jesus ascending to heaven. Now, secondly, the spoils of victory that the conquering King Jesus gives us are also the spiritual gifts. We see that, and you can read about it in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. "Now, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are also equipped with the various gifts of the Spirit. This may be the gift to proclaim the gospel boldly, or to exhibit great faith in the midst of very challenging, tumultuous times, or to encourage someone with God's word, or to show mercy and compassion in a way that you would have never shown before you trusted Christ, and so on and so forth. And so because of the ascension, because Jesus ascended into heaven, he is our conquering, coronated king who gives the disciples the spoils of victory. Most importantly, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because we are given these gifts, we are now ready for the third reason why the ascension is important. This is reason number three. The ascended Christ empowers us for mission. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in verses 48 and 49. He says, "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." In other words, Jesus is going to ascend to heaven, then give the Holy Spirit to his disciples, and then they will be empowered to go and proclaim Christ to the ends of the earth. Once they have received the gift of the Holy Spirit from the ascended, reigning Christ, they are equipped to bear witness to Christ and the gospel. And that is still happening today. The ascended Christ, who is seated on his throne, gives to believers the gift of the Holy Spirit, along with the other spiritual gifts, which empowers them to proclaim Christ, enables them to advance the kingdom of Christ, and equips them to compassionately care for the marginalized, the outcast, and the lost. Through the gifts that only the ascended Christ gives, we are empowered to complete the mission that Jesus commanded us to do. Now, the next three reasons for why the ascension is important focus on things that Jesus is doing right now in heaven. Okay, so this is reason number four. Reason number four, the ascended Christ is our advocate with the Father. He is the advocate or mediator between God and man. As Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Now, an advocate or a mediator is someone who helps or pleads the case for someone else. And so in heaven, Jesus is fulfilling this role for us. He is pleading our case on our behalf. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." What John is saying is that if you are a true disciple and you sin and fall short, the ascended Jesus is up in heaven advocating for you to God the Father. Jesus may be saying something like, "I died for him, Father. I completely satisfied the wrath that he deserved for that sin that he just committed. I have taken all of his sin, and in exchange I have given him my righteousness. He is one of my precious, beloved sheep, Father." That's what it means for Christ to be your advocate before God. It is so important that Jesus ascended into heaven, because only then could he be your advocate and mediator. Fifth reason, the ascended Christ is interceding for us. This is another role that Jesus does only because he is ascended into heaven. There are many overlaps between what it means for Christ to be our advocate and to be our intercessor. They both have to do with the ascended Jesus seeking to help us in our need. I believe that Jesus' role as an advocate has mainly to do with pleading our case before the Father, perhaps most specifically when we sin, if we understand 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 correctly. But Jesus' role as our intercessor is perhaps more broad for how he helps us faithfully follow him. Consider the following verses that I think highlight Jesus' role as intercessor. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. "Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who was at the right hand of God," that is, he ascended, "who indeed is interceding for us." Or Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Or one more, Hebrews 9, 24, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself," that is, he ascended, "now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." And so there is this sense that Jesus' continual, ongoing intercession for his true followers is one of the things that he's doing right now in heaven. He's in heaven now intervening on our behalf. He is offering up petitions for our help, for our sake. Because Jesus ascended to heaven, and only because Jesus ascended into heaven, we enjoy the important benefit of Christ being our always living to intercede for us. Sixth reason, the ascended Christ is preparing a place for us. Oh, how glorious that is. Shortly before his arrest in the garden, Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Now, in this passage, Jesus is not talking about preparing a room for them in Jerusalem. He's not talking about preparing a room for them in Bermuda or the Isle of or in Sicily, right? He is talking about preparing a place for them in heaven. He is referring to his ascension. And it is good that he leaves so that he can prepare a place for each of his true disciples in heaven, where they will be with Jesus forever. Christ had to ascend to heaven in order to prepare a place for you in heaven. So his ascension is of crucial importance. The seventh reason regarding the importance of the ascension is closely related. Understand this. We, to some extent, are already now with the ascended Christ in heaven. There is a real sense in which true believers are right now with Christ in heaven. Listen to these staggering verses. I'm sure you've read them before, but maybe you've overlooked this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Amen. That's not a future reality that Paul writes about. That is a present reality. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Excuse me. "For genuine disciples of Christ, in a manner of speaking, you are seated with Christ in heaven right now. You are seated with Christ on the throne of heaven." What? Like, that's amazing. And furthermore, when we set our mind on things above and set our mind on Christ, we do so because, Paul says, your life is united to Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ. And where is Christ? In heaven. That's where he dwells. Now, we can't fully know what this means on this side of heaven, but it's a staggering, glorious reminder that you are united to Christ, and Christ is in heaven. So in some extent, you are with him there. We are not distant or detached from him, but rather we are safe and secure in him. And furthermore, it's a reminder that our true home is heaven, not this earth. We are only exiles here, waiting to go to the place in heaven that Jesus has prepared for us. The ascension is important because it means that in some sense, we believers are with the ascended Christ now in heaven. We now look at the eighth reason. The ascended Christ is not limited to one physical location. That is a tremendous benefit of the ascension. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus was limited to one physical location. He could not be with each of his disciples all at the same time. I am sure there will be a time in the not too distant future when two of my kids have games going on simultaneously. Let's say, for instance, that Aiden and Sophia both have soccer games, both going on at the same time. If they're at the same sports complex, I may be able to run back and forth between the games, but I will not be able to see them play their entire game to its completion. I'll only be able to take snippets, and the reason for that is because I'm limited in time and space. And the same was true for Jesus when he walked here on this earth. If Jesus were to stay on earth and not ascend into heaven, he simply could not have been there simultaneously for Paul in Rome and also John in the island of Patmos. He could not be with you in the midst of your struggle at the same time that he's with me in the midst of mine, or with those being persecuted and killed for their faith in Nigeria. But because he did ascend to heaven, Jesus is able to protect, provide, guide, help, answer prayers, sustain, encourage, strengthen, and be with all believers all over the globe simultaneously through the mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ascension is important because the ascended Jesus is no longer limited by time and space, but rather can be with and sustain all believers all throughout the world, all at the same time through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ. Now, we finally move to the ninth reason. The final reason that I'll give is that the ascension gives us a deep longing for his return. Listen to these verses that speak to this. The first I want to share is from Acts. Now remember that Luke wrote both the gospel according to Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And it's very interesting that he ends his gospel account with a depiction of the ascension, and he also begins the book of Acts as well with the ascension. So Luke culminates with the ascension, and the book of Acts inaugurates with the ascension. It is like the closing of one chapter of redemption history and the beginning of the next one. And the center of it is the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Now, in the book of Acts, Luke gives a little bit more details of what happens at the ascension. And this is what he says in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he, that is Jesus, had said these things, as they were looking on, they being the disciples, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. In other words, these angels are saying, just as surely as you saw Jesus ascend into heaven, you can have full confidence that he will return in the same manner at his second coming. Or as we just read a few minutes ago in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Jesus himself is making a promise that just as he is leaving, he will most assuredly come again, and he will take believers to be with him forever in heaven. Now, there are many passages that speak of the certainty of Jesus' second coming, but these two passages that I just read specifically link the ascension to the second coming. The ascension causes us to long for Jesus' return. We long for him to make all things new. We long for him to return and right every wrong. We desire for him to come and establish the new heavens and the new earth. We desperately want Jesus to return so that we would be with him and experience his presence in a far more intimate way than we do now. The ascension creates this longing within us, and it gives us a heavenly perspective that this world is not all that there is. We are not living for this world. We are waiting. We are waiting for our King to return to fully establish his kingdom and to take us home. The ascension is important because it creates in us a right longing for Jesus to return. And so I hope that your ADD, your ascension deficit disorder, has been effectively cured. I pray that you now know that the ascension of Jesus into heaven is necessary, important, and beneficial. And in summary, in case you missed them, here are the 9 reasons that I gave for why it is important, why it is beneficial, what were the results, the effects of the ascension. Here they are, quickly. Number 1, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling over the entire universe. Number 2, our conquering, coronated King gives us the spoils of victory, most notably the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, the ascended Christ empowers us for mission. Number 4, the ascended Christ is our advocate with the Father. Number 5, the ascended Christ is our intercessor, interceding on our behalf. Number 6, the ascended Christ is preparing a place for us in heaven. Number 7, we are now with the ascended Christ in heaven because we are united to him. Number 8, the ascended Christ is not limited to one physical location. And number 9, the ascension creates in us a deep longing for his return. And now, church, as I move to a close, how do I adequately conclude a 3-year sermon series which consisted of 122 sermons, including this one? Maybe it's best to highlight some of the key themes or emphases that Luke made. Things like Jesus' compassionate concern for the poor, the marginalized, the outcast, the destitute, or Jesus' care for the lost and the wayward sinner, or Jesus' divine sovereign power as well as his humble humanity. Perhaps we can consider the themes that of the radical upside-down commitment that Jesus' disciples must make, or the already not yet reality of his kingdom, or God's sovereign plan for salvation through Christ. Perhaps I can mention how Jesus is central to every aspect of life, or how you must make a decision for Jesus. You either accept and follow him, or you reject and turn away from him. Perhaps we can look at the theme of who the Lord Jesus is, or what the new community of believers is like, or what Jesus taught them to do and how to live. That's one way to do it. I could have spent time doing that, but I think I would rather compare how the book begins to how it ends. It begins with Zechariah in the temple, and it ends with the disciples also in the temple. It begins with Zechariah unexpectedly participating in God's promise to send the Messiah, and ends with the disciples expectantly waiting for God's promise to send the Holy Spirit. It begins with many, like Simeon and Anna, who are waiting for the hope and redemption of God's people, and it ends with the disciples who have found and received that hope and redemption. It begins with angels declaring the news of great joy of Jesus' birth, and ends with the disciples declaring the great joy of Jesus' death, resurrection, and victorious ascension. The gospel, according to Luke, is an account of Jesus' incarnation, His life and ministry, his miracles and teaching, his sacrificial death on the cross, his victorious resurrection, and his glorious ascension into heaven. And as Luke chapter 1, verse 4 informs us, Luke wrote these things. He wrote this orderly account to a man named Theophilus with the purpose that, quote, you may have certainty concerning these things that have been taught. And I pray that as we've been journeying through Luke, that you may have greater certainty that these things are true. And with this greater certainty, that it would lead you to greater joy and hope and a greater urgency to proclaim Christ, to proclaim the good news of the gospel to those who are lost. And for those of you who have not yet committed to following Jesus, I pray that you would know that these things are not a fairy tale. They are not just made up to make people feel better or to cope with hard situations or to be a crutch to weak people. But rather, these things are recorded, are real events in human history. And I pray that God would open your eyes to see and open your mind to understand and unclog your ears to hear and soften your heart to receive the gospel and truly trust in Christ. May we all leave here and respond to Jesus in the same way that the disciples did in Luke 24, verses 52 and 53. May we worship Jesus with great joy and continually bless and give thanks to God in all that we say, think, and do. Amen. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and we thank you that not only did he die, not only did he conquer sin and death and rise from the grave, but he ascended victoriously and triumphantly into heaven, where he accomplished many things that are of great importance and great benefit to us. We thank you, Jesus, for the glorious ascension, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue your work of interceding and advocating for us, and that you would continue to help us and empower us to be your bold witnesses here in Jackson and to the surrounding communities and to the borders beyond, that your name, O God, would be magnified and made great. We thank you, Jesus, and we thank you for your glorious ascension. Lord, I thank you for the 3 years that we've gone through Luke. What a joy, what a blessing, what a privilege. And I pray, God, that these teachings would well up into us to go and to be greater disciples, more committed, more faithful disciples that glorify, magnify your name and who find their greatest joy and satisfaction in you. Oh, God, help us to be a people who love you, who love your word, and who delight to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To you, Jesus, belong all glory and honor. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you and we give you thanks. And we pray all these things, Jesus, in your awesome and mighty and powerful name. Amen.